Hey, Serpentcast listeners, my name is Aliza Kelly, and in celebration of my new book, The Mixology of Astrology, Cosmic Cocktails for Every Sign, I'm going to share with you guys my favorite cocktails and mocktails for each of the 12 zodiac signs. So, obviously, to kick us off is Aries, because Aries is always number one, and Aries loves to have fun. Aries is the life of the party. They love to make a splash. They love to stir things up. So what better sign for the notorious Long Island iced tea? Island iced tea is not for every sign. It is definitely not for the faint of heart, but Aries love a good challenge, and this drink is perfect for Aries' indulgent, number one, winning, aggressive mentality. Taurus, on the other hand, is the most Epicurean sign of the zodiac, so this sign is going to enjoy a beverage that is delicious, that activates the full range of senses. So for Taurus, I recommend the Icy Vanilla Rum Malted Milkshake, which can be made into a mocktail very easily by just leaving out the rum. It is delicious. It is a dessert. Taurus will love this. Gemini, these are the wordsmiths of the zodiac. Gemini are all about a cocktail that can tell an interesting story. So the monkey gland is the perfect drink for Gemini. The name isn't the only unusual thing about this drink. The story is also equally odd and riveting. So curious Gemini, I encourage you to head on over to Wikipedia and see what the monkey gland history is all about. Cancer is the mother of the zodiac. It represents the maternal figure. So naturally, Mother's Little Helper is the perfect drink for Cancers to nurture, feel nurtured, and then also to take the edge off just a little bit. Leo is the superstar. These lion and lionesses love to have a drink that is as fabulous as they are. So what is better suited for these fire signs than the Cosmopolitan, a drink made popular by Sex and the City, which is more of an accessory than a cocktail? Leos will love this beverage. It is classic, fun, and definitely will always stand out in a crowd. Virgos are the idealist. They are perfectionists. They love good quality ingredients. So for these earth signs, I recommend the Gimlet. The Gimlet focuses on really nice, high quality ingredients, not as much on presentation and all that other fancy stuff. So a Virgo can really enjoy the high quality beverage and sip the libation just as they would like to. Libra, the aesthete, the charmer of the zodiac. These air signs are total beauty freaks. So they'll definitely need a French 75, a classic champagne-based beverage that looks good but also packs a serious, serious punch. Scorpio, the enchanter. These mysterious, brooding water signs love to live on the edge of darkness. So a dark and stormy, these Louisiana-based cocktails are absolutely perfect. They're moody, brooding, and definitely potent. Sagittarius, the explorer. Sagittarians are the last fire sign of the zodiac, so these fire signs love drinks that have interesting histories that come from different places around the world. So I recommend the Caesar. The Caesar is the Canadian Bloody Mary, but it's made a little bit differently and is definitely going to impress your friends because it has a bit of an odd twist to it. Capricorn. Capricorn, the boss. These guys do not fuck around. Capricorn wants a drink that is taken seriously because Capricorn is taken seriously. So what better beverage than the Old Fashioned? The Old Fashioned is the anchor of all cocktails. It is the OG cocktail. So Capricorns will absolutely love sipping on one of these bad boys. Aquarius, the revolutionary. Aquarians love progress. They love rebellion and spicing things up. So the Cuba Libre is the perfect drink to complement their ideology. This drink is embedded in the Cuban rebellion and has a lot of history attached to it. Aquarians will love it. And then finally, the Pisces, the dreamer. These are fantastical, sensual water signs. So for these, I recommend the Foaming Fairy, which is an absinthe-based drink and is definitely going to take you to some magical, otherworldly lands. Thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of Serpentcast. You guys rock. And check out my book, The Mixology of Astrology, for lots and lots of cocktail and mocktail options for each of the 12 zodiac signs.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Serpentcast. I'm Annabelle Gatt.
I'm Sophie St. Thomas.
And we are here with Amy. We are starstruck by Starheel.
Hey, guys.
From Twitter. Illustrious Starheel, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
So the first question we ask everyone, are you into Harry Potter at all?
No.
What is your sign?
Yes, so that's part B to that question. What is your sign?
Aquarius.
All right. So can we ask what your moon and rising is too, and then we'll place you in a house?
Sure. So my moon is in Sagittarius, mm-hmm. and I'm a Libra rising.
All right, so you're a Ravenclaw. So, right? Wouldn't you agree?
I want you to go. I'm curious.
Is that good?
Yeah, Ravenclaw's great.
Okay.
They're very smart. How would you describe them?
Well, all of the different Hogwarts houses.
Ravens.
There's four Hogwarts houses. There's Gryffindor, which is the firehouse. There's Slytherin, which is the waterhouse.
Which I am a member of. So
me too. And then we have Hufflepuff, which is the earth house. Makes sense that, you know, our friend Priya, who was on another episode, was a Hufflepuff. And then we have Ravenclaw, which is the air house.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely me.
You know, they're the, you know, like really logical, they're communicators, like it's the air house.
Yeah, I think I have five planets in air, so yeah. That would definitely be me.
Yeah. So you are very well known for your tweets about astrology. You tweet a lot of updates about like what's happening currently in the sky.
Yeah.
And also just a lot of like witty, interesting things. So thank you so much for coming in. We're so excited to interview you. I know some people tweeted at us with some questions.
Ooh, they did.
About what they would love to learn more about you.
How did you get started with astrology?
It happened completely by accident. One day, I was going through my Saturn return, and I was just really doing some inner work, and I was looking for some guidance, and I had always read my horoscope in the past. I'd always read Astrology Zone, Susan Miller, very well known. But I'd never delved any further than just my sun, and I knew my rising sign. Looked up online some astrologers, and I saw what they charged, and I was like, I'm not paying that much money for something I don't even know is real. So I was like, you know what? I can teach myself. I'm a quick learner. So that's how it started. I started learning one day and just never stopped. And it just kind of grew organically. And I really got my hands on everything I could, books, the internet, Twitter, podcast. And I was inspired by a few different Twitter accounts. And that's what led to the creation of my Twitter account. And then that slowly grew into a business that I do on the side. So now I'm here. So it just all started from just the curiosity of learning.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted recently that you remember start having 200 followers. And how many are you at now?
I'm at like 50.3. I don't want to be. It sounds lame to keep track like that, but
no, we all know. We all know.
Yeah. I know that I hit the 50K mark because that was like a milestone for me. So, yeah, I remember when it was a very small account, and I was like, I would get so excited just to have like new followers, and I would always follow people back and like try to make it to be like a community. And it's harder to do that now with a larger account, but that's really my goal, is to make everyone feel part of, like, a community and for me to engage with them.
Ever since, I'm not a professional astrologer, I'm a sex and relationships writer, but ever since I've gotten into it and started this podcast, and I'm sure you guys get this question 5,000 times more than I do, but today I woke up to a text from a girlfriend saying this, and a friend I had dinner with last night asked me, both very science-based people who say, I don't really believe in astrology, but I've been listening to your podcast and getting into it. And there are things happening in my life that just can, it's just freaking me out because astrology explains it perfectly. What do you say when you get that question from people, and how does that make you feel? Now I sound like a shrink, but...
To me, when people do that, well, first of all, I never try to convert anyone to astrology. If they're not into it, that's cool with me. I just keep it moving.
Yeah.
But if something happens and they're like, whoa, what's that? You know, I just say, why don't you learn a little bit about it and then just observe for yourself? Like, I don't have to tell you this is going to happen. You can see for your own, yourself, what's going on in the stars.
I mean, my answer just from a person or a friend or someone who does believe and use in astrology is like, just like chill out and relax a little bit. Like, you know, it's okay to read your horoscope. It's okay to have some fun and believe in this. Or even if you don't believe in it, it's okay to use it. There's like, it doesn't have to be such a big deal. I don't know how that sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, like I said, I was really scared when I first realized what astrology was about. And then my second idea was, why don't other people know about this? Like, why is this such a secret? How can people not know this? Because it was so obvious to me that the stars really influenced like daily events and things that were going on.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
As professional astrologers, how much do you plan your life around things like eclipses?
Well, I'm here and Mercury's about to go retrograde in 3 hours. So
yeah, I've battled with
not
this.
Not too well. No, I'm just kidding.
But that's the debate, right? Like, you know, for instance, on the 27th, the Aquarius eclipse, if I'm correct, like I have a big, big work event that night. You know, I'm excited for it, but also I already know I'm like, oh, I wish I could just like be in bed, but like life goes on even when the planets keep moving. So how would you recommend someone to find the balance of using astrology to, you know, whether it's even just knowing Mercury is retrograde, double check your emails, et cetera, wait to sign contracts, but also like sometimes life just happens and you can't, unfortunately, we don't have the luxury of perfectly coordinating it to go with what's happening in the heavens.
Yeah. I think astrology should be used as a tool, not as something that dictates your life.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's good to know, like you said, like when Mercury retrograde is happening, just so you can keep an eye out for certain things. But unfortunately, there are going to be interviews you're going to have to go to during Mercury retrograde. There are going to be presentations you have to give. There are going to be papers you have to write. And you can't just not do that.
Yeah.
So all you can do is keep in mind that Mercury is retrograde, that you may have to redo some things, leave some space for error, and just see what happens and observe the energies. That's really all you can do. I do caution people a lot, and if you are following me on Twitter, you know I tweet about the void moons. I'm a firm believer in the void moons, but sometimes, like now, we're having really long void moon phases that last almost 24 hours, and it's like you can't just not do anything for 24 hours, so, you
if
know.
Someone doesn't know what is a void moon.
Okay, so that's when the moon is in one sign, and it doesn't make any other aspects before it enters another sign.
Mm-hmm.
So it's considered void when that's the case. And the time it can be void varies depending on where the other planets are in the sky. So it can be void sometimes for an hour, and sometimes it can be void for 24 hours. Just depends.
Can you tell us, like, what you might recommend for someone to do during a void moon if they feel like they have to take action, but you're letting them know it's a void moon, so maybe it's not the best idea? Like, what should people do during a void moon?
Well, what's said you should do is rest, relax, reflect, meditate, those type spiritual type things. But as someone with a cardinal energy stronger in their chart, which makes me want to take action a lot. And I have Mars on my ascendant, so I'm very, like, have to be doing something all the time. So what I do is I try to go back and do things that I've already started instead of just going out and trying new things. They say whatever happens during a void moon doesn't stick. So I'm pretty strict about, like, not meeting people out on a void moon, or, like, if there's an interview and they give me times to pick, I will look up, you know, which day the moon's going to be void or not, things like that.
So if you don't mind, I'm curious about your life before astrology, like, your spiritual beliefs. Was it a big change for you?
Yeah, it was. I grew up in a very traditional, conservative household. I went to church every Sunday. I went to a Baptist church in the South. So, like, my church would say drinking is bad and astrology is definitely bad. So that's what I grew up with until I was 18. And then I went off to college and I stopped going to church. Because it never really resonated with me. Like, I would go and, like, want to feel some kind of connection, but I just never really did. And then I did mushrooms when I was.
Oh my God, I love that. Yep.
So,
continue.
This was still a long time before I did astrology, but that experience opened up my mind to other things and made me want to explore other things spiritually.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I actually bought a tarot deck like 7 years before I started getting into astrology. So, I mean, I was exploring other avenues. I just hadn't put my mind to learning astrology yet. But to get back to what we were saying, I went to church every Sunday. But like I said, I didn't feel it like in my bones that this was it. So astrology, actually what it did was make my faith that there is an afterlife and there is a purpose to life stronger, which is what church was trying to do my whole life.
That's
astrology
beautiful.
Did that for me. So before I was like, well, where do you go when you die? Do you just die? I don't know. But now I can safely say, no, you don't. There's another place you go to, and this is all part of a plan. And to me, that just made my religious side, it made me more spiritual, let's say.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't consider myself religious, but spiritual.
Yeah.
Does anyone from your hometown who you went to church with, are any of them like, oh, I started following you on Twitter, and I'm into it now?
So there is one girl that I grew up with in my neighborhood that just randomly found me on Twitter. And she was like, wow, like, I had no idea you were doing this. And I was like, that's pretty crazy you found me on Twitter. But I kind of kept the fact that I was doing astrology to myself in North Carolina because, like I said, people aren't, like, super into it there.
Yeah.
And and my parents aren't. Really, they don't believe in it, so I just kind of kept it on the down low as something, you know, and did it on the side.
Astrology for me and just my practice of witchcraft in general, I was a grown-up. I didn't grow up in any church. My parents moved from the middle of nowhere in the Midwest to the Caribbean, I think because they didn't want themselves or me to have a conservative upbringing. I don't know why the fuck they moved me to the Caribbean, but I am glad they did. But I mean, my grandmother was a super strict, not strict, but she was, you know, Lutheran, and my dad was raised Lutheran, but he gave me this most beautiful book when I was little, and I will love him forever for this. It was about it was written by a Caribbean author, and the story went that there was a little boy who lived with his grandparents, and every Sunday the grandmother took him to church, and the grandpa never went. He went out on his fishing boat to watch the sunrise and to go fishing. And the little boy with his grandma at church started learning about hell, and how you need to go to church and, you know, be a good Christian. And he got really upset because he was like, well, Grandpa doesn't go to church and I don't want Grandpa to go to hell. And so he expressed this to Grandpa. He was like, you never come to church. You're going to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. Will you please start coming to church? And the grandpa was like, he spoke to the grandmother. He said, well, one, the next Sunday, can you spend it with me out on the water instead of with Grandma at church? And so he took his grandson in the boat and they went out into the Caribbean Sea and watched the sunrise. And he said, you don't need to go to church to experience God.
What a nice story.
That like really,
so true.
It's so true. And I don't know. I know for me, some of the most spiritual moments, like even in dark times, like just having like a nice dog or like a cat or just these like beautiful moments that show you that there is good in this world can make it seem like, okay, maybe this is worth all the struggles. But
I mean, I saw a video today of a butterfly landing on a dog's nose and it was too much.
But I think, yeah, just astrology or tarot or whatever, you know, your practices at home. I think, you know, times are really, really tough right now. And it is comforting to have rituals or something to pray to or believe in or work with. And this is like a tangent. I don't even know if I want to have you guys go off on, but obviously, you know, all this become very trendy. But
I would love to hear what you think about the astrology trend.
Because one good thing about it, though, is I hope other people have found some solace in that.
I hope so, too.
It's like a spirituality, like people are saying. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's I mean, I think that spirituality becomes trendy every decade. Uh-huh. You know, like New Age was huge in the 90s and like the 80s and the 70s. I mean, hello, you know, welcome to the dawning of the age of Aquarius. That song was written decades ago. Like, I think we kind of, spirituality is always there. I don't want to call it a trend. But what does change is that we have new media. So we have radio and television and then MTV. And then we have AOL. And now we have like Instagram and Twitter. So it's not that the new age or astrology or spirituality or religion is trendy. It's just that we have these new medias that kind of deliver it to us in a new way. But what I do notice about astrology in particular is that now we have memes. So there's all these astrology memes, which is adding like this new satirical, lowbrow thing to astrology, which I don't think there's a problem with. I think if you can't have room for the lowbrow and the jokes in a community, then there's, you know, then there's...
Oh, cancer meme made my day today. Sometimes you just need to
laugh. Yeah. But I want to hear what you think of that, if you have any thoughts.
Well, I think it's great that people are into astrology. You know, I think not... just saying that as someone who has business in astrology, but as someone who thinks that learning astrology and knowing about it can improve your life. And so in that way, I think it's really great. But if people are just in it to be trendy, then astrology is a lot deeper than that. And
astrology is the kind of thing that you're going to get what you put into it.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they only know their sun sign and they just think astrology is their sun sign and never go any deeper than that. And that's really unfortunate because if you just know your sun sign, you're probably not going to experience enough astrology to be like, oh, wow, this is real. You have to know, like, your chart. I just don't know if the people who are super trendy in astrology, if they are going that deep with it or not. But I do think having fun with it is great. Yeah. I love to post gifts.
Yeah.
I post a lot of housewives gifts because I love Real Housewives.
And they love astrology.
Yeah, they do. And I met Vicki Gumbelson.
Amazing.
A week ago. I don't know if anyone knows her, but that can appreciate that. But she's like the number one or the longest running housewife. I met her at the airport when they changed my flight. But I think that it's great to have fun with astrology. I think it's a way to add a new spin on learning it and kind of getting a feel for the archetypes of the different signs. That's how I like to use it, the gifts. But yeah, I mean, it's always good to have fun with stuff, but it's also, we should remember that astrology is deeper too.
Absolutely. I'm curious to know, when you were first learning about astrology and, like, you saw your chart for the first time, was there a planet and a sign that, like, really surprised you, like, that you realized, like, oh, my God, I have, like, a moon in Sagittarius that explains everything? Like, did you have, like, an aha moment like that when you first saw where all the other planets were placed?
Actually, when I first saw my chart and I found out I had a Sagittarius moon, which is, it's at zero Sag, so I wasn't sure if it was at 29 Scorpio. I kind of always felt like a Scorpio moon. But as I've gotten older and grew into my chart, now I feel my Sagittarius moon. But when I first looked at my chart, I didn't totally identify with it yet. And I think what happens is, up until your Saturn return, your chart's still kind of unfolding. Yeah. So until you are about 30, your chart really hasn't played itself completely out. So I think I was too young, but I have a Libra stellium, which means I have like three planets in Libra. So I definitely resonated with a lot of the Libra aspects of my chart, and also have Venus in hard aspect to a lot of planets. So that explained some things to me about my love life or lack of. But yeah.
Was there any planet in your chart, Sophie, when you saw it, you were like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. It's in this sign. Or a planet that you were like, why is it in that sign?
I've struggled with my moon.
Really?
Yeah. My moon is in Virgo. Mm-hmm. And it explained a lot about the way I think. And it made me do a lot more of astrology research, because at first all I knew was like, oh, Virgos are supposed to be clean and organized and like this uptight. And that's like the opposite of me. But one, the most interesting thing is I realized how many Virgos I had dated. And so I was like, am I trying to work out my moon issues like with these men? But I am, and it's, I really relate to what you said about growing older. Like, the older I get, the more I understand and nurture my Virgo moon, because I'm a Scorpio with a Leo rising, and it can all be, sometimes it seems like they're all kind of like yelling at one another, but the Virgo moon needs care and definitely does reflect a lot about the way I think. And I don't know if that answered your question, but it helped me understand myself, but it took some work because at first I was pretty surprised by it.
Yeah. Well, it's not too shocking that you're attracting a lot of Virgo's sun, because
yeah,
that would gravitate towards your moon.
Yeah.
And that's actually like one of the best combinations.
Yeah.
Incompatibility.
I mean, they all blew up in my face. But
that's a good start.
For a long time, I thought I had a Sagittarius rising because my parents misremembered what time I was born. They kind of just threw out like a ballpark time. And I thought I was Sag rising, and I was, you know, totally happy with that. I was like, it makes sense. You know, Sagittarius is a well-traveled, cultured, intelligent, kind of energy. And I grew up in a family where, you know, it was bilingual and we traveled a lot, and a lot of like art and like culture and like going to museums and schmoozing at art galleries. And like, it was very Sagittarian and, you know, very educated, like very Sagittarian in a way. So I really identified with it. Because the thing is, a lot of times the ascendant describes the family environment that you were put in, that you were meant to like reflect in a way. So it's kind of like how your parents sort of expected you to behave and kind of the mask that you had to put on, regardless of what your like inner needs were. So it's like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. You know, I was on airplanes all the time and I hated it. Like, you know, Sag rising. Then I find my birth certificate and it's Capricorn rising.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh God. And, you know, that theory of the ascendant is the mask that you put on for like what your family like projected on you, I was like, that doesn't work. Like, they didn't expect me to be like some baby walking around with a briefcase. Like that's not what happened. But again, as I've gotten older, I've realized how important it is for me to feel like I'm being taken seriously and to be professional and to be, and that I can be really like cold and reserved, and that people have, and I have Neptune rising, people I clearly have a Neptune rising. And if my Sagittarius, if I had Sagittarius rising, that Neptune wouldn't be on the rising. And my Mars wouldn't be rising. I'm a Mars-Neptune rising person. I'm a very easy to project your problems on, yet argumentative and will fight you about it person. Yeah, so it makes sense.
So we both have Mars rising.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm curious to know what some of your favorite aspects in a chart are.
You mean like...
Like, do you love a Mars rising person? Do you love a Venus trine Uranus?
I like someone that has a lot of Pluto in their chart.
Mm.
I don't know why, but I'm drawn to Scorpios or people who have Mars conjunct Pluto, Sun Pluto. I think I have Pluto rising also, so I'm not sure if that's it, but I resonate a lot with Plutonian energy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I have a Moon-Pluto conjunction.
Oh, see?
They're both at 6 Scorpio.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think you have a Pluto-Sun conjunction, if I remember correctly, but I might be wrong. I'll have to look.
Yeah.
They're close enough. Tell me a little bit more about why you love Pluto, for the listeners at home who might not even know what Pluto is all about.
I've just found that Pluto is about what's beneath the surface, what's hidden, what you bring up from the depths. It's also sex, death, transformation, all of that. But I find that people with a lot of Pluto energy are very raw in a good way. They're very real, and I just like how they kind of like tell it like it is, and
they're not afraid to go there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
I also like their intensity.
Yes. Well, you know, when we think of the sign Aquarius, it's a sign that we don't think of as being intense. But all of the Aquarians I know,
I was about to say,
are totally fine with intensity.
Yeah.
What do you think that like disconnect is? Do you think we're just, as astrologers, kind of not looking at Aquarius the right way? Or do you think there's something else going on there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I definitely don't feel that disconnected Aquarius type feeling. Like I said, I don't know if it's because I have Pluto rising or not, but and that's why I'm drawn to intensity. But yeah, I think Aquarius kind of gets a little bit, people a little bit are judged too much that they're aloof or disconnected, distant. I think they're more emotional than people think. And yeah. Also, I find that people with a lot of Plutonian energy in their chart are very magnetic. And so they just attract people to them. And I think I'm drawn to that magnetic energy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question for you about Aquariuses and their reputation.
Okay.
You know, Aquariuses are often thought of as the sign that is like is very futuristic, and that like they're the ones that always make like alien contact. Yeah. Have you ever made alien contact?
No, I haven't.
What is the deal with Aquariuses and
aliens?
But
I want to. I'm not sure. I guess because we have the reputation for being so unconventional and, like you said, futuristic. And I think that's what gives us that reputation. But yeah.
I mean, if anyone could invent something to help us talk to aliens, it would be an Aquarius.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I feel like I reference his chart every single episode, but David Bowie had an Aquarius rising, and he was a Capricorn, so he was like, he got his shit done, obviously Leo Moon, but that Aquarius rising, I mean, the Starman, that's literally what people call him, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it really reflects on how people view Aquariuses.
Totally.
David Bowie, yeah.
Well, the star card in the tarot is Aquarius's card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about that, actually. So when I started out doing astrology, like I said, I had a tarot deck already, but I never really used it. And so I was like, well, let me ask it a question. And I asked it what I should be doing, like what my purpose is. And it gave me the star card. And I've just always, yeah.
And now you're Star Heel.
And that was before, that was way before Star Heel happened. Yeah.
Whoa, I do. Whoa. Magic is real.
It is. I love the tarot. I don't bring it out too often. I find that I actually bring it out more during Mercury retrogrades for some reason.
Interesting.
For some reason.
I've been overusing the tarot. I'm getting to that period where I'm like, I know the cards are just going to like yell at me, just like put me away. Like, you've asked enough questions.
Yeah. I do that sometimes. Yeah. I've done that before. Yeah. And then it starts giving you answers like, stop at, like, they'll start fucking with you.
Well, it's, again, like you said, the freaks me out. Like, I will shuffle the best fucking shuffle you've ever seen, and I still get the same cards. Like, it's seriously, yeah.
I always get that card. I can't remember if it's the Six of Cups or it's whatever the one is with the woman and all the cups are spilled and like.
Oh, I hate that card.
It's like she's dressed in black.
Yeah, Five of Cups.
Five of Cups.
Yep.
Yeah, that card always pops up.
Sadness and pain, but with a purpose.
Hmm.
Yep. The Four of Cups is kind of like this ungrateful little like dweeb. but then the Five of Cups, it's like there's gratitude and yeah. there's real love there, but yeah. it's, you know, this important like grieving and mourning period that mm-hmm. people go through.
Yeah, it's interesting because I often go to the tarot when I'm like have had a breakup or I'm in like a sad period, and often I find that it'll give me like what I'm feeling at the moment too. Sometimes like it will read me my energy at that moment. And I found that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you also have a degree in psychology. I'm interested to know how astrology informed that or how getting your degree in psychology informed you as an astrologer.
Well, like it's interesting because I had my degree in psychology before I learned astrology. So when I was learning astrology, I was like, oh, well, this is what the 4 years I spent in school was trying to teach me. Like it... They complement each other, you know, really well. Like I said, I think astrology does a better job at what psychology and tries to do. I think that psychologists or counselors or people working, anyone really working one-on-one or in any kind of intimate way with people can benefit from knowing astrology or knowing a person's chart.
Yeah.
So especially with therapy or counseling or psychology, I think it can be used as a great tool along with what's already happening.
Yeah. I would love to meet more therapists and counselors that use astrology in their practice. My acupuncturist, this is totally has nothing to do with psychology at all, but it's a little bit related. You know, it's health related. She's an astrologer. And she, you know, she looks at your chart in addition to doing everything else. And I think that all of these different modalities, whether it is, you know, psychological therapy or acupuncture or anything, it's astrology can inform so much, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's my goal, is to one day merge counseling and therapy with astrology, because mm-hmm. I like I said, I think the two complement each other so well. I think that astrology could benefit from a little bit of the counseling side of things. And I think counseling could benefit from astrology. And it's really, this is being an Aquarius, like innovative, like,
yeah.
you know, like how do you get to this career path? I don't know, but that's what I'm trying to figure out. And that's my goal.
Yeah. So if people want to find you on Twitter, they can find you at Starheel. Is there anywhere yes. else where people should look you up?
So I have a website, starhillastrology.com, and I'm also on Instagram at starhillastrology.
Amazing.
But my primary medium is Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yay.
Yes, this was wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/theserpentcast. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at theserpentcast. And you can follow me on Twitter at @AnnabelleGatt_ or on Instagram at @AnnabelleGatt. Also follow Sophie St. Thomas on Instagram and Twitter at @TheBowieCat. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you.